Yeah. Nice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How are we doing tonight? We're going to pray, then we're going to exercise a little meditation really quick, like we've been doing the last 2 weeks, and then we'll get after the word. Father God, thank you so very, very much for this evening, Lord God. An opportunity to come before you, Lord, to honor you with our praise and worship, and then get a word right from heaven, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you'll use me as you and speak through me to change lives the way you want them changed, Lord God. I praise you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Psalm, I'm going back and forth, but I think we're going to go to Psalms 41, I believe it is. Well, 42 maybe. Yeah, it's 42. Go ahead, if you would, go ahead and close your eyes. Not with me, I got this right. Close your eyes as I read this psalm, and we're just picture. Remove everything from your head, all the worries and the stresses of life, and just listen with me. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you quieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at that the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, Cliff, that's not very uplifting. But it is. Hope in God. Hope in God. Psalm 42 is written by the sons of Korah. If y'all know anything about the sons of Korah, well, the sons of Korah, they were some mean dudes. They guarded the temple. They were warrior priests, I guess you can say. But in their lineage, the Korah is who rose up against Moses and got swallowed up. So, but his sons, here they are, guarding the Most High. That's pretty cool. And as they say, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. We need to get ourselves in a place where, like Pastor Ricky was just saying a second ago, where we're hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. We have to get to that place. A lot of time with what's going on in the world right now, people say, you got to get in that place because, you know, the end is near. Well, the end's been near for a long, long time. And it gets closer every single day. But we need to get closer to God because we ought to be closer to God. It shouldn't be so we can squeeze into heaven at the last minute. It should be so we can live this life victoriously, know who God is, and who we are to God. And that has nothing to do with tonight's lesson, but it is so true in the situation that just the world order right now. Follow God. Chase after God. Watch him show up every time you need him. So, how many of you, show of hands, and you can answer this one, how many of you have ever been reading in the Bible or reading some kind, like a book? I was, this morning, I was reading Quantum Faith. Awesome book. I'll return it to you tonight, Pastor Ricky. I've had it for like a year and a half or something like that. I apologize. I was reading it, and something the writer, her name's Annette Capps, said in there just jumped off the page to me. Pastor Ricky, he went like this. He's like, "You're a nerd. You might like this." He didn't say it that way, but that's how it felt. I'm just joking. But because it has to do with quantum physics, and everything is made up of matter, everything, and there's molecules and all that stuff, right? All the science stuff. Science. And so in this, something just jumped off the page to me, and I want to talk to you about that. Mark 11:23, please. And we pretty much, we all ought to know this one, right? We know that Pastor Ricky's actually talked about this just recently. And this is the fig tree dried up in the morning. Peter's like, "Wow, look what happened." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, no duh, dude," right? Here's what actually was said by Jesus. "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have whatever he says. And we can put "she will have whatever she says," because that works too. We're all children of God. "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." All of the Word of Faith movement can be wrapped up into this one verse. Word of Faith. What that basically is we believe God, and the Scriptures are exactly what the Scriptures say. We're not adding anything. We're not taking anything away. Did Jesus say, "If I say something and I believe it in my heart, that I will have what I say"? Did he say it?
Yes.
Is God a liar? So am I wrong for preaching out of the Bible that if I say something and I believe it in my heart, that I will have it? Not wrong. I'm not in error at all. That's why we believe the way we do. Because if the Bible said it, it's got to be true. It's from the mouth of Jesus. He said this to you. It wasn't for a bygone era in the days past. Because if he said that, it would have went something like this. "For assuredly I say to you, you apostles," when you say to this mountain. But he didn't say that. He said whoever. Whoever says to this mountain. Some people be like, "Yeah, but sure, that was Jesus, man. He could say what he wanted to. He could do what he wanted to. He's God. He can move a mountain." But it's funny that God didn't say, if you tell that ant to move, it'll move. He picked the biggest thing. Yeah. Amen. He said, "Believe you can dry up a tree."
Right.
He said, "Believe you can move a mountain." Yeah. Now, sometimes we will go into we'll give it like figuratively. We'll be like, maybe your mountain is a pile of bills. And we're belittling what God said, because he said you can move a mountain. Yeah, sure, we all face mountains. We all face giants. And God wants us to speak to those and get them to leave. But if God said I can move a mountain, I can move a mountain. And this is where it jumped off the page to me. Everything has this subatomic level where all these little parts are moving back and forth, left and right, up and down, and moving. And everything in here, even the chairs, they're inanimate and they're not living, but they vibrate with energy, right? And I'm not preaching any New Age weirdo stuff. But my voice, when it takes vibration and wind moving across my vocal cords to make my voice, everything we interact with is constantly in flux and in moving, if you would say, if I could say that. And so when we're speaking to things, and we're telling this to do that, and this other thing to do this, it causes reactions. In a subatomic level. That's why negativity, there's tons of studies with kids. Speaking negatively to your kids right before they go to bed, it's terrible for them. It's better whoop them and send them to bed. Then call them, you know, say they're bad and send them to bed. Because there's something about words that get inside of there and they lock up. Emotional scars, without Jesus, I'm going to preface this with that, but emotional scars are deeper and they're harder to heal. Because the majority of emotional scars are the product of words that were spoken to you. So as we look at these things and how words affect everything we do, and then we put that up against the Word of God, we know that the Word is true. If you tell something it's ugly long enough, it's going to be ugly. If you tell something it's broken long enough, it's going to be broken. So my question to you tonight is, what are you saying? Now, I did not put any topics on this. Excuse me. But I have a few choice ones picked out. Are we saying things like, here we go again? He's caught me on this one. Every time. What he said on Sunday, que sera, sera. I'll never. And here's where the Band-Aid comes off, guys. Oh, gosh, the economy. This darn administration and the favorite of the last 2 weeks, these gas prices. Now, I almost lost it on Sunday. I'll tell you why. Heather and I, we have borrowed, anybody who has a truck that's in our circle of friends, we have borrowed your truck. And because I don't like borrowing vehicles, I usually borrow the person also. And so, and I'll buy you like an energy drink or like a sandwich or something like that. But we have stuff that needs to be done, right? And so right before gas prices went up, we bought a truck. And the next day we filled that tank up and we drove to California, took our in-laws a bed that had been in my garage for like 3 weeks and nobody would come and help me take it out of there. So it was a blessing to get rid of it. And it's been a blessing to them too, I hope. But we were able to do that, right? And I was happy. It's $3.39, $3.89, whatever gas was that week, right? And then I got out to California and gas prices were like $4.79. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not paying these prices. A week removed. But here's the funny thing. On Saturday, we went to Las Vegas to pick up a suit. And I was pumping the gas, and the gas got to $92. And all I could do was thank God, because, hey, I didn't bother me. Yeah. I didn't care that it was $92. I didn't go, oh, my God, that's so expensive. Babe, it's half a tank. That's it. Like, give it a couple. That's it. Right? I didn't say any of that. But if y'all would have known what I've gone through with cars, I drove a go-kart for a year and a half because I didn't want to pay for gas. It was a Nissan Versa Note. It's a go-kart. I'm a 300-pound man. I look funny in that car. And then Pastor Ricky and I were up at the church, and it got during that big hailstorm, and it had dents everywhere. But man, I got 47 miles to the gallon or something like that. I was like, glory, I'm not paying for gas. But I couldn't help but be tickled that it didn't even bother me to pump $92 into my tank. on Saturday. There's some growth there. Because instead of focusing and saying, oh, here we go again, I said, you know, thank God that I can pay this. Thank God that He has blessed me enough. And the cool thing is, it's just going to keep coming. Because I'm lining myself up with the Word, and I'm doing things, I'm saying things, and I understand. Right? There's this frustration about things that are going wrong in the world, right? And we want to blame somebody. We're human. It's what we do. But instead of putting voice to that, instead of saying, oh, that president guy, pray for the man.
Yeah.
Oh, that evil, whatever it, pray for that lady. Did you know if you would stop speaking ill about, because the whole church is doing it, not here, but the whole church, the devil has caused us to forget that our words matter, because seriously, the Word of Faith movement, when it started, it was like on fire. Everybody was jumping on board. They were like, and it's working because it's the Word of God, but Satan got into somebody's ear and said that Word of Faith stuff is wrong. And they were wrong. And what did it do? It's led us to a point where the church doesn't know their words matter. And so what we do is we talk and we complain against everything. And that is working for the devil. But if we'll man up, or woman up, and start speaking life into our country, into our economy, into our church, into our city, into our everywhere, into the world, we'll see God show up and change everything. But it starts with you. It starts with me getting after it and believing God for what He said in the Word. Man. If you talk defeat, you'll walk in it. If you talk lack, you'll walk in it. If you talk poor health, you'll walk in it. If you talk victory, you'll walk in it. If you talk freedom, you'll walk in it. If you talk health, you'll walk in it. If you talk prosperity, you'll walk in it. But you have to believe and trust in God, what He has to say. And that starts with what I've been talking about. And Pastor Ricky's been talking about, and I think every teacher in the world right now is talking about getting after the Word of God and listening to what He has to say.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Psalm 71, 15 through 24. Psalm 71, 15 is where I'll start. I'll go through 24. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day, for I do not know their limits. I will go into the strength of the I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old, gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also, with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. Here's a guy who's, he just basically says, I'm going to praise God no matter what. In my comings, in my goings, God, don't even take me off this earth. I long to see your face, right? Because we know who David is. We know how he was. He wanted to see God. But he said, don't take me off this earth until I can proclaim your goodness to those that are coming up. That's about being about the kingdom business right there. Don't take me away from here till I can proclaim to everybody your goodness, God. That is the key. Proclaiming God's goodness is not talking about how much debt you're in. It's not talking about how high the gas prices go. If you're constantly down and sad and frumpy, then you're just a mouthpiece for the devil. I'm sorry that I put it that way. Not really. But we've got to, and me included. Heather has to tell me all the time, tell your face, right? But we've got to get to a point where people are like, what is that guy on? And we can turn and say, oh, Jesus. What have you been smoking? Oh, I've not been smoking anything, but I've been taking in the Word of God. It's great. That's where we need to be. When we start doing that, we start getting after what God has for us. We'll start speaking right. Full disclosure. Y'all know what I do for, well, most of you do, but I do sales stuff for a living. I've been doing it for my current position. I've been doing just going on 6 years. I don't want to talk anything bad because I fixed some things, but I have struggled. I have in the past believed God, because I know how to believe God for good things. But all my believing in my heart cannot trump the speaking of my mouth. It can't. I could believe everything. I could believe God for whatever, the biggest thing. But if I don't speak it, or if I speak against it, which is more what I was doing, I won't have what I'm believing for. Which is kind of weird, because on the opposite side, this came up to me. Did you know that I could not be believing for something and I could speak it so much and get so much of the word in me that it becomes real? How is that for awesome? I might not be able to believe for a mansion today. I won't even call it a mansion. Today I might not be able to believe for the 38 to 4,500 square foot home that Heather has. Once. I might not be able to believe for it right now because I haven't made it there yet. I will, because God's putting that in my heart, because he put it in my wife's heart. And so I'll continue speaking that we will have this. We will be in that home. We will have a swimming pool. We will have a yard that Hammer can run around in. I will have more fish tanks. Because these are all important things to me. And I think a fifth bedroom, maybe a sixth bedroom, all of fish tanks, just wall to wall. And she don't never have to see them because I'll just be in there. I'll call it my study. But I'll have a prayer room too, not the fish tank room. But if I keep speaking it, even though I can't, I'm not there from a faith standpoint yet, which is okay if you're not there, but don't stay where you are, right? That's the key, is that we got to constantly be growing with what God has for us. So if I'll keep speaking these things, right, back to subatomic level, these things will begin to manifest. And as they begin to come together, I'll begin to see them more and more, because eventually they drop into my spirit like a coin in a candy machine. And I'll be able to reach out and grab it. That is what God has for you. But it starts with these little guys right here. Getting your mouth right. Your mom was wise when she said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Who'd have knew she was prophetic, right? Did you know that unbelievers and heathens have figured this out? And here the church is talking against everything. Not Spirit Life. We're speaking things into existence. Good things. Great things. But if the heathen can speak into existence because the devil has downloaded a spiritual truth to them, and they can have it, how much better child of God can have it? How much more the child of God can have it? That's where we need. That's what it is. Keep on. If it's outlandish, if it's a mountain, literally needs to be moved. I heard or read or something a story once where a lady had there was a mountain blocking her view, and she just started praying against the mountain. And an excavator company came and moved that mountain for her. It doesn't have to grow legs. I mean, it worked. Just knocked the mountain down. And she didn't have the mountain anymore. They built an airport, but, I mean, the mountain moved. The view was corrected. I don't know which part of that's true. The mountain moving thing, I did read that or heard it from a pastor sometime. it's really, oh man, if we could grasp it, right? You ever, if you've raised kids, there's things that you did as a child or as a young adult that you don't want them to experience. And so you tell them things, right? And they're like, well, you're stupid. You're an adult. You don't know anything, right? And they know everything. And so you kick them out of the house. No, I'm just joking. But they don't take your advice. And then, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. And all you're trying to do is give them a leg up. Help them out. And it's plain as day. Like, pay your bills before you go and have fun. Something so easy as that. They don't get it. And so they have a lot of fun, and they live back at your house. It's horrible! I told you, right? Do you know that's what God is doing in the Bible? Pastor Ricky said, a long time ago, I think we were just talking out on the patio there, and he said all these faith teachers, all these people that went before us and went through these things, we don't have to go through that again. We don't have to make our way back through the struggles that they went through, because it's documented. They gave us the formula. They went before us. And so if we can grab onto those things, stop hating on ministers. I've told on myself before, I have a real problem with Kenneth Copeland. Once again, Pastor Ricky to the rescue. Help me out with that. Then I started listening to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was barely making it from event to event. Preaching exactly what we preach, the word of faith, believing God, and barely making it. Like, seriously, hey, do we have enough money to get the lights turned on this next venue? Because we've got to have lights on to preach, right? Well, I don't know. go there. Lights are on. Preach. And in that, he could easily pack it in. Told Brother Hagin, you know, hey, that word of faith, man, don't work. He could have been like 98% of the church. Because he struggled. But he kept preaching it. He kept teaching it. He kept believing God for what he said in the Word. The audacity of that guy. And now what do they want to do? They want to chastise him because he owns stuff. Dr. Herndon the other night, I don't know if y'all follow him on Facebook, but he posted something about everybody's all happy when a rich dude comes to Jesus, but it's bad when a Jesus dude gets rich. Yeah. What kind of backwardsness is that? Yeah. We're the king's kids. It went, man. But that was a good little thought. Oh, quantum faith. I'm going to read you a little bit of it before I give it back to Pastor Ricky. And then I'm going to have to buy it because I hadn't read it in a while. It went on my bookshelf. Now I'm going to give it back to him. But I'm going to buy it. And you should too. Annette Capps, Quantum Faith. Even if you're not a nerd, it'll work for you. Words are energy, and energy affects matter. The energy of your microwave vibrates water, the molecules, and heats the water. The energy of electricity flows to your washing machine and powers the motor that spins the tub and cleans your clothes. So we can rightfully say that the energy affects matter. Your words are energy, and they affect matter in your life. When you speak the words, "This is the worst car I've ever had, you stupid piece of junk," those words are vibrations of energy that affect the atoms that make up the car. If you speak those words long enough, your car will obey you. I've done that. I done cursed a car until it didn't work anymore. Even when a car is giving you trouble, you speak good things to it. Love it a little bit, and it'll turn into a you know, brand new Ram. No. It's what happened to me, true story. No. Thank God for grace, I'll tell you that. Scientists have performed experiments with atoms in their subatomic particles, such as electrons. If you paid attention in school, you saw a diagram of an atom with the electron orbiting it like the Earth orbits the sun. It's that weird thing, all right? The interesting thing is that scientists have discovered that the electron that is shown orbiting the nucleus is not always there in particle form. It exists in a wave-like, in a wave state, like a cloud, everywhere at once, until somebody looks at it. When the scientist observes it, it suddenly appears as a dot particle, or dot/particle. What we all want to know is, how does it know someone is looking at it? It is obviously responding to the observer's interaction with it, just like faith. One of the difficulties in quantum physics is that particles have somewhat differently behave somewhat differently for each observer, which leads me to the question, does it behave according to what the scientist believes? In any event, we can definitely conclude that Jesus was right when he taught that all matter responds to our faith words. The substance from which our world is made is influenced and manifested by words. The things that you desire are made up of atoms. They know what you believe, hear what you say, and behave accordingly. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So imagine that on that like subatomic level. I love saying that, it makes me feel smart. But it, over here in the distance, it's just a cloud. But if you look at it, it acts how you, the person, the observer, see it. So if I see, if I see lack, it'll act like lack. Sickness. But better yet, if I look over here and I see health, if houses, if you see cars, if you see things, I can make them manifest. What? No, I'm just joking. If you see something, you look over. Oh, there's my car. Boom. Done. Right? Yeah. Some people might. There might be somebody that was like on Facebook just now and said, well, these guys are crazy. Read the Bible. God wants you to believe him for crazy things. Smith Wigglesworth, Angelus Temple, I've spoke about this before. Dr. Ricky brought it up. He was talking that the time coming, Smith Wigglesworth was, where the true believers of Christ are going to engage in extravagant asking. Extravagant asking. Until now, we haven't, right? But God wants us to. You have not because you ask not. Ask God for something. If you can't believe in faith on it, don't stop saying it. Don't stop interacting with the molecules. Just keep on talking. Find a scripture that you can put rest on. The doctor in Chicago, Dr. Bill Winston, he was believing for an airplane. Didn't have a scripture on it. Waiting for a scripture. Couldn't get a scripture. Went to Africa. A preacher there had the scripture for him. I think it was mount up on wings like eagles or something like that. Hey, there's your scripture. You will mount up on wings like eagles. Well, I don't know about you. Last time I checked, airplanes have wings. He had a scripture. Now he could go in his closet and he can meditate and say, God, you said that your people mount up on wings like eagles. I'm your people. God promised Abraham that he'd expand his tents, multiply, expand his tents. God, if you're believing for a house, maybe you ain't there yet. God, you said that you would expand my tent. And I'm going to call you on that. God, thank you, God, that you expand my tent. That you make me greater. But it starts with what Pastor Ricky was talking about during time. Seeking that kingdom. Seeking his righteousness. Getting after it. Getting after the word of God. Meditating. Not missing. I love my kids. And Gabe, he played football. The only sport Isaac ever wanted to play was soccer, I believe. And he wasn't really even that into it, that he wanted to play a sport. And we looked at soccer. Soccer was every night plus three nights on Tuesday. I don't know how that works, but it's every night, all year. It was off limits. Because my family was glued back together by Jesus. And I wasn't going to risk that again. Soccer. He doesn't resent me for it. It didn't ruin his childhood. He's actually a productive member of society. It's okay to tell your kids no and put God first. Yes. Looking around, only a few of us have kids, so or kids at home at least. But seek God. Just like Pastor Ricky was saying, sometimes we'll be like, well, we gotta Joe's got this going on. Well, if it's on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, it's sorry, bud, you just can't do it. Can I tell you it's not worth it to forsake God? We went through some hard times with both of our boys on different occasions. And if not for God, well, I'd have killed them both. Not really. Close, though. But being able to seek God, I thank God they grew up, like literally grew up in church. They've been here since they was little ones. And now they sprinkle themselves in here and there. Most Sundays, Isaac was here. Gabe and his family have been coming. That's good. I'm happy about that. It makes me happy. I'm like, oh, wow, this one's going to hurt. My uncle died four years ago. And he wasn't a rich man. And he wasn't my dad. He was a good guy. Little did I know that he's actually who took my parents to church and helped my dad to receive Christ. So I called, when he was sick, I called him. God gave me a word for him. And he wasn't really accepting of it. He thought that I was challenging his faith. And I wasn't. I was just calling to encourage him in that time. But in that word, the Holy Spirit helped me out. And he says, I'm almost past that part. By the way, there will be a pool to see how long it takes me to cry at Gabe's wedding while I'm performing service. I'm just joking. Okay, gotta laugh. All right. The Bible said that a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And there is an inheritance beyond what we think inheritance. We're like houses, money, land, cars, and all those are inheritance, right? But my dad, regardless of if he leaves me $1 billion or a dollar, he has left an inheritance for his children's children in Christ. Because my uncle. And so that was the hardest part when I was talking to my uncle and he flat out rejected everything I said. But it's okay. He's with Jesus now. He had faith. But my kids, I'm going to pass on a lot, right? But they're going to pass on more because that foundation. By the time I have grandkids, should Jesus tarry, I'm hoping, you know, nobody gets anything for free. No. But we'll be able to take care of them. My grandkids. Where they go out, they become productive members of society, and things are gonna be good for them. Right? We all, if you got little kids or grown kids, it's all right to start praying for them. Start storing some money up, even if they acted a fool when they were young. But it all starts with the word and speaking. So make sure you're doing that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for putting in our hearts a certain amount of faith, Lord God. Thank you for helping us build it through your word. Thank you for your promises, God. Help us all to fix up how it is that we've been speaking. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. I'll challenge you before you leave. Nope. She's out. 2 seconds. This week, Pastor Ricky had me do this. I did it for a day. I couldn't do it anymore. Have a little notepad or on your phone, and every time you say something bad, make a mark. Don't write what you said down, then you're going to meditate on it. Just make a mark, bad things. Then when you say something good, make a mark. That one, if you want, you can write it down because you can meditate on that. Okay? You count them up at the end of the week. I'll pray with you. We'll cry together. It'll help you clean up them words. Good night. We'll see you guys on